Let's draw near to the throne of grace. Father, as we call on your name this morning, we are very mindful of the impact of the COVID-19. We pray that there would be a revival of true religion in our nation, that you would help men and women, boys and girls, to see their smallness before you, their inability to preserve their own lives. And we would ask our God that you would use this for much spiritual good in drawing your people to yourself. We pray, Lord, for the employment of several in our midst. And to that end, we pray that our economy will quickly recover. We pray that there will be a vaccine that is able to be given, and one that works, and one that does not have significant side effects. We pray, Lord, that you would show your kindness and help us, even for our medical workers, help them not to grow weary in doing well. And we pray that you would give them the discipline and the mental fortitude to continue to serve you and serve the people around them. We think, Lord, of Stephanie and pray that you would ease her adjustment back into life in California. We think, Lord, of Pastor Frank Barker's memorial that is upcoming. We would pray for those who are listening online, those who would be joining in with us here. We think particularly of Pastor Dunn as he will be speaking evangelistically in this context. And we pray that that word of seeking first the kingdom of God would be wonderfully blessed of you. We think of Jean as she has this cancerous spot that needs to be removed soon. We think, Lord, of Christina coming to the August 19 date with these months that we have been anticipating and praying for this day to come. We pray that her health would be good as she closes in on this day, she comes to Wednesday, and we would pray that you would smile on Christina and the Cabrera family and bring significant help through this surgery. We pray for Jordan and the little one in her womb, and pray that you would give help and give them delight in holding a healthy little one in the days ahead. And Father, we pray for Pastor Bala with all those opportunities that you have given to them. We pray that as you have multiplied the opportunities of speaking truth there to Oman and India and Sri Lanka and Malaysia, France and elsewhere, bless that word, multiply conversions as he speaks. And then, Lord, we think of the Wells there in Udine, Italy, this Italian national that has studied in seminary here in the States, that is going back to his home country, taking along his American wife. And we pray, our God, that you would wonderfully bless their transition. We've heard that they've been able to get on a plane, and we pray that you would cause them to settle in quickly, keep them in good health. And we pray for Heidi, the wife of the new missionary. We pray that her delivery in October would be wonderfully blessed of you. And we think of this Tony and Natasha there in Haiti, and we pray that you would preserve this pastor's wife, that you would provide the funds that they need going ahead for her care. And we pray for your blessing on them, for all these that we have mentioned. We know that we come in the name of our great and powerful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come to our meditation this morning, we have seen that God is love, and because he is love, there is to be this love that goes out to our fellow man. And the first of the characteristics, we have seen that love suffers long. We have to love in a sin-cursed world. There are obstacles and there are difficulties, and it's in our love, it is at times like we are trying to start a fire with a flint rock when it has been raining and then snowing. The word for slow to anger is really long anger, long to anger. And when we come to look at our passage, as we're now in the bulk of it, we find that there are these three necessities out front, whether you've got the gifts or tongues or prophecy or a willingness to be burned. If you don't have love as the proper motivation, then none of these count. None of them are of any benefit. Then there are these two positives, and then eight negatives, and then six more positives. Paul has something of a plan in mind. The two positives, suffers long, is kind. And then it is, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, and then turns back to the six positives, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and never fails. I want you to think of the relationship of our first meditation on the characteristics of love, that of suffers long. It's like the suspension of the vehicle of love. What you're seeing there is the frame and the chassis, and then underneath is where we have the springs, where we've got the shock absorbers, where we've got rubber tires to help cushion, and it's like driving a car on a bumpy road is what it is to love in a sin-cursed world. There are difficulties, there are obstacles, but that love suffering long is like the shock absorbers and the rubber tires and as well the springs that are underneath. And is kind. Love is kind. Love is motivated by kindness, and love does kind things. That's the engine. That's where it all begins. That's like the heart of God, where there is kindness in the heart of God, and then he does these kind things. Agape love is desiring and doing the very best for another in the name of Christ. And I hope that this definition will soak into all of our minds, and more than our minds, it will ooze out in our thinking, in our interacting in the days ahead. Well, with that, let's come to the handout sheet and notice, first of all, the biblical definition. The biblical definition. Phil, do I need to turn that off? Thank you. The biblical definition of agape love's kindness. It suffers long and is kind. Notice with me, first of all, A, kindness defined by the lexicons. A lexicon is a dictionary. And what they do is go through all of the uses, and then they try to catalog it, and they tell us how a word was used in classical Greek, how it was used in the Old Testament. So very quickly, this word for kind or kindness was originally denoting usefulness, what appeared to be useful and good and suitable and proper. And then over the time, if there was this external act that I did towards you that was kind, that was good, then eventually this word was used to speak of my motivation as I did that kind thing. I did the kind thing out of a kind and good motive, so it grew to include the kindness of the heart. And this was a fairly common word in the ancient Greek world. In fact, those who were rulers or governors, they would give instructions that they were to be called such and such the kind. So Carl the kind. And in the Old Testament, it was used in their Greek translation when they are going to sing praises to God for all of his kindnesses, all of his benevolent acts, where God repeatedly towards Israel, he did this kindness and that kindness and the other, and the people of God responded by praising him. And this is the word that was often used: thank you, God, for your kindnesses. But we must not forget that God was not simply kind for a little bit to Israel and while they were really good. Even when he had to kick them out of the nation and send them into the Babylonian captivity, God is still kind to them. He reproves them, and eventually he is going to bring them back into the land, and that is a manifestation of the kindness of God to those who do not deserve it. Secondly, B, kindness defined by biblical usage. It is used in the heart of God as his kindness. We read it earlier, Luke 6:35, for he, the Father, is kind to the unthankful and evil. Romans 2 and verse 4, do you despise the riches of his kindness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Look at your life. You don't deserve to be alive today. You don't deserve to be under the sound of the gospel. You don't deserve to have a heavenly God who will send his Son in deep deprivation to live that perfect. We don't deserve this. Think on these various kindnesses of God, and may that lead you to repent and want to be right with him. Behold the kindness and the severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you kindness if you continue in his kindness. And eternity will be spent thinking on the riches of his grace in his kindness. And it's interesting to me that in this passage, and now in Titus 3 and verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, this word of kindness appears right alongside of grace, Ephesians 2, verse 7. And now in Titus 3, in summarizing what God has done in the gospel, we find kindness and the love of God there together. Are we wrong to think that back in eternity past, there in the heart of God is his grace? When we trace back salvation to its ultimate point, its ultimate starting point, there it is, to the praise of the glory of his grace. But when did his love start? And when did his kindness start? That goodwill in heart seems to be all tied up together with his grace and with his love. But then further, the biblical usage. This kindness is to be found in the children of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. What's the difference between goodness and kindness? Well, there is an overlap. Because sometimes we might say, oh, no. I cannot think ill of this person. This person has done me good. They've done all sorts of kind things for me. So there's an overlap. But there must be a difference in their meaning as they are used here side by side. And the difference is this. Goodness in the Bible is going to put more of an emphasis on the rightness of someone's character, and we use it this way. This woman is just a good person. And we may mean that in the sense of a morally right person. While kindness focuses more on a niceness and a helpful act that is done. Goodness would be me not lying to my wife, being right, good in that sense. While kindness would be me picking up a box of Dilly bars or to go with her to a number of doctor's visits. Now, which one is more important, goodness or kindness? Well, let's not choose. Let's take them both. Let's live them both out. And then, as we saw in our reading, Paul is an example of this agape love in the midst of his imprisonments and labors and sleeplessness and fastings. He served as a minister of the gospel by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. And so what Paul is saying to these Corinthian believers, with their carnality, with their factions, with their divisive spirit, what he is saying to them is that I have shock absorbers and springs and the right amount of air pressure in my tires to help me to deal with the bumps of dealing with you Corinthians. And it has been a bumpy road. But then he speaks of the engine of his love by kindness. So what he is requiring of them, 1 Corinthians 13, he is able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ, because these characteristics are found in him. So agape loves kindness is the engine that powers the car. It's the engine that has the right desires, that has goodwill for someone who, humanly speaking, doesn't deserve our goodwill. And yet, we manifest it to them. But love shows itself in kindness, for kindness is an unmistakable and essential characteristic of love. Thirdly, kindness emphasized in a definition of agape love. What is the definition? Agape love is desiring and doing the very best for another person in the name of Christ Jesus. Agape love is a love of the will. It is me desiring and then doing. Yet agape is also a love of emotion. There ought to be good feelings. I may have to do my duty in loving you. I may have to get myself by the scruff of the neck and say, this is where you're going. This is what you're going to do. But hopefully, in the process, that love of the will is going to expand, is going to sweeten and mature into a love of emotion where I am favorably inclined towards you and I really want to do the right thing and I have goodwill for you. Agape is a love that desires, that flows out of the good heart. Agape love is active. Several of my commentator friends point out that when he is describing love here, he doesn't use the nouns, but he uses verbs. Verbs speak of action. Love puts up with someone a long time. Love is kind. There is this action that is shown. It's not just goodwill that you say, well, I got goodwill in my heart, it just didn't come out. No, no. Agape love cannot be hidden. It does come out. Listen to Galatians 5 and verse 13, the last phrase. Let's just get this phrase. But through love, serve one another. That's what biblical love is. At times, we have to grab ourselves. We have to force ourselves to do the right thing. But there is this engine of kindness. And there's a wonderful objective standard here in love, as we have defined it, to assess the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa-led protests. Are they about goodwill? Are they about kindness? No, there is so much that is destructive and so much that is, I'm going to take this from you. I'm going to force you. And if you don't do what I want, you see, it's so antithetical to the spirit of love. But it's also a wonderful objective standard, desiring and doing the very best for another person in the name of Christ. It's a wonderful objective standard for what I'm supposed to do to you, what you're supposed to do to me. Whatever I am doing, I get my stamper out. And here's my proposal in my mind, and this is what I'm going to do. And I get the stamper of Jesus Christ's name and stamp it on there. In accordance with his word, this is what I am going to do. Roman numeral 2, the nature. What is it like? The nature of agape loves kindness. Notice the expressions of our kindness. How do we express our kindness? Well, there are, first of all, physical expressions of love's kindness. And for this, I'll simply mention quickly, in the day of judgment, Jesus commends his people for having fed him and given him a drink and having taken him in, having clothed him, and having visited. And the people of God, you weren't even here on, how did we do this? When did we? And he says, to the extent that you did this to my people, true believers, you have done it to me. But now listen to 1 John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So here we are in John's three tests of life that recur over and again in 1 John. And one of the assurances that I am a believer is founded on the reality of me loving the people of God. But then he goes on, he gives Christ's example. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. First part of verse 16. I jump on to verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So in verse 14, one of the tests of life is love. Verse 16, we have the example of Jesus laying down his life. That's rather physical, isn't it? And verse 17, we've got the loving provision of physical needs. You need some clothing, you need some food, you need some money to go towards that. What can I do to help? But then the latter part of verse 16 is not only Jesus laying down his life, first part of verse 16, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So what's our responsibility in love? What kind of kind act? Yes, to provide for them physically. And when called for us to be willing to lay our lives down for them. But then further, not only physical, but spiritual expressions of love's kindness. We show love, we show the kindness of love when we teach others about Jesus. Listen to Paul, 1 Thessalonians 2. So affectionately longing for you, kind of sounds like he loves them. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. And he goes on to say, you are witnesses how we did it, how we lived, devoutly, justly, blamelessly we behaved. J.I. Packer, in his classic book on evangelism and the sovereignty of God, was finding this quote just a few days ago, and come to find out, this is one of the books that I gave to Nancy back in 1978. Very nice of me, give the book to her, but it's all marked up with my penmanship. But it's nice to think that back in 1978, that was a part of our interaction. What we need to do, Packer says, is to ask for grace to be truly ashamed of ourselves and pray that we may so overflow in love to God that we shall overflow in love to our fellow man, and so find it easy and natural and a joyful thing to share with them the good news of Christ. In some of us in our workplace, there may be individuals that are really impacted by the promoting of racial tensions in the society around us. And it's good for us to have Packer lead us and to encourage us. We want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but nonetheless, it is the nature of love to be enterprising. If you love someone, you are constantly trying to think out what is the best you can do for him and how best you can please him. And it is your pleasure to give him pleasure by things you devise for him. If then we love God, Father, Son, and Spirit, for all that they have done for us, we shall muster all our initiative and enterprise to make the most that we can of every situation for their glory. And one chief way of doing this is to seek out ways and means of spreading the gospel of grace. Teaching about Christ. That's one way that we show love, show kindness to our fellow man. Another is bearing one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we ought to spend time with one another, and hopefully it always won't be at a 6-foot distance. But we need to spend time with one another to learn what is troubling this one and the other, and then to the degree that we can, let me get under there with you and shoulder that burden. Have you ever thought of how our prayer meetings are an expression of the kindness of love? Well, they really are. Who cares about China? Who cares about Cyprus? Who cares about the work of God in the Tamil language? We do. We do. And we are anxious and glad to hear those tidbits, to know of some difficulty that's going on in Cyprus, that's going on with the churches there in the Far East, to hear those things, to take those burdens on, and then go to the throne of grace. So our prayer meetings are a regular opportunity to show love's kindness. What's another spiritual kindness that we may show to someone? Winning back a straying believer. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here is true concern and compassion flowing out of a kind heart. I want to help. And then that needs to turn into a sensitive and probably bold approach as an external act of kindness from a loving heart. But then Jonathan Edwards, in his sermons on the kindness of love, preached back in 1738, goes on to say, one of the kindnesses that we do is setting a good example for those around us. And think of Paul, who was saying he was longing for them, how they had become dear to him. And then he goes on to say, you are witnesses. You saw how we lived, how devoutly, justly, and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Jonathan Edwards now. Setting a good example is the most useful thing of all. and commonly the most effectual of all for the promotion of good of their souls. Such an example must accompany the other means of doing good to the souls of men, such as instructing, counseling, warning, and reproving. Setting a good example is needful to give force to such means and to make them take effect. It is more likely to render them effectual than anything else whatsoever, and without it, they will likely be in vain. Try to teach with a bad example, and it's not going to work out very well. The expressions, that was A. Now B, the objects of our kindness. The objects of our kindness. Who ought we to love with kindness? Well, first of all, both believers and unbelievers. John says, as I have loved you, you also love one another, talking about believers. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Paul says in Galatians 6:10, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Those in the household of faith and those outside. Well, who's my neighbor? And for the Jew that was asking that question, his neighbor was a Samaritan, someone that he's probably not so inclined towards, believer and unbeliever. Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler, and there's no indication of true conversion. Now, I hope he did repent, but we have no record of it. We don't read, and Jesus loved him because he knew he was of the elect. But we read in Mark 10 and verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. There was goodwill in his heart, and kindness came out. Both friends and enemies. Love your enemies. Your Father in heaven makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. Let me illustrate. A godly man may have two very different children. And this godly man has got one child that hates the gospel of the Lord, and because of that, doesn't have the highest regard for his dad. And the other one loves the Lord. So which son is that dad going to love? Well, he's going to love both of them, isn't he? He's a godly dad. He's a godly man. The expression of the love towards the one might take a different form than the expression of love to the other. Who are we to love? Who are the objects? Believers and unbelievers, both friends and enemies, a special regard for the people of God, yes, but for all men. The expression of our kindness, the objects of our kindness. Now, the manner of our kindness, and this is very important. How do we love with kindness? Not in a mercenary way. A mercenary is somebody who gets paid for his service. He's a soldier for hire. So when we come to love someone, well, I'm going to love this one because I think that then 6 months later, 6 days later, I hope to get a return on my investment of love. No. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive much back. But love your enemies. Do good. That's not our word, but it's very close. And lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind. There's our word. He is kind. He is kind to the thankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Now, I'm not taking this to the extent or times when Jesus is giving illustrations And in this, he is not disregarding the sanctity of personal property, and there is no warrant here to go and steal from someone. But it is true that sometimes love will be burnt. Love will get taken advantage of on occasion. And that's a hard thing to go through. I have shown love. I have shown love. I have shown, and this is what I get back. You know, I'm not so sure about this agape love thing. I think it might be a little safer for my psyche to only show love where I have at least a 51% probability of getting a return on my investment. So the manner of our kindness, negatively, not in a mercenary manner. Positively, in a cheerful manner. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. This is Peter in 1 Peter 4:8. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I had to do a meal for her. Everybody would notice if I didn't. And she's really not that sick. And who has done this sort of thing for me? You did it. And no one really knows what your motive is, and no one really heard you grumbling except someone very, very close to you and a God who sees from heaven. 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 5, the Corinthians are supposed to be bringing their gift for the famine relief together. Prepare your generous gift beforehand, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And if I'm giving in kindness, I may have to speak to myself, and I may have to tell myself that I need to be able to get the stamper of Christ and put on something that I'm going to do. And I may have to get myself, but this is your duty. Get at this. Do the right thing. But as you're doing the right thing, you want the right motive to sink down deep within you so that you are a cheerful giver of whatever kindness you are giving. The biblical definition, the nature of agape love's kindness. And now Roman numeral 3, practical helps. Practical helps to agape love's kindness. Consider how kind God is to us. That's A. Consider how kind God is to us. Do you despise the riches of his kindness? Giving you life, giving you air to breathe, giving you food, giving you clothing, causing you to be born in the United States, giving you all that God has done in his common grace, kindness, in caring for you. I mean, friends, we don't exactly live in a desert here in this part of Pennsylvania. We're not in a country where unemployment is regularly 35%. God has shown his kindness to us. But much more than those physical kindnesses, even some of those common grace kindnesses, listen about Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty, you might become rich. And what was his poverty? Where he humbles himself to join to his deity true humanity. And then willing to earn a true human righteousness, a true human perfection that we heard of last Lord's Day evening, of an active obedience that perfect life of obedience and that perfect sacrifice of his death. How kind God has been to us. And the more spiritual we are, the more we will measure this aright. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's not that 2 trillion years into heaven you're going to say, well, I think I've sung enough hymns of praise to the kindness of God. Never. Never. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared in Jesus being born of the Virgin and then walking until he came to the Roman cross, if we will be anything like our God who has shown this kindness to us, then we will be kind. Secondly, be. Consider how we value the kindnesses of others to us. How do you feel when someone does something very kind for you? Someone notices something you have done and says so. Somebody notices what you need and takes an action toward it. How do you feel? Wow, this is nice. Somebody takes an interest in me. And they're not able to give me the $1 million that I want. But they're able to enter in and they're able to get their shoulder under that burden. We are so natively selfish, and when we see someone who truly excels in this goodwill, it just seems to bubble out of them in this kindness and the other kindness. God is doing something more than making you feel good for the moment. God is drawing attention to your responsibility to be like that too, in showing kindness to others. As Jesus said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Do you like it? When somebody shows kindness to you, then you have an obligation to reciprocate in that kind of conduct. Edwards, I think, what we highly approve in others, we are obligated to exemplify in our own conduct. I need to be more like this very loving, very kind, and other-oriented individual. And I know it's because of their walk with Jesus Christ. Thirdly, see, consider that the proof of genuineness of our love is in the fruit. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. What does it taste like? Looks okay there in the bowl. What does it taste like? What kind of texture does it have? The proof of the milk is in the drinking. And when in Egypt, after I had been sick, was up in the hotel in the middle of the night, to take in something for the first time in probably 24 hours or 30 hours, I don't know. And I'd lost everything a few times over. And I'm drinking the milk, and the first thing is, oh, it tastes, kind of tastes like milk, camel's milk. But then the texture. Stringy, lumpy stuff in your milk. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. It's one thing for you to say, oh, I'm a loving person. I got a lot of love down here in my heart. But is it coming out? Brethren, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love... They may have had thoughts of love down there in the heart, but no, that ain't coming out. That's going to cost. Love's kindness is a distinguishing trait of Christian character. If you're living in order to get your own name lifted up, if you love in order to get, If you do kind things for what you can get back, then you need to see your own selfishness in stark contrast to the other-oriented nature of biblical love. Jesus Christ gave his life for sinners. If God has lovingly made you his child, then he will give you something of his loving heart. But if you're missing this kindness, if there are people that you do not have goodwill towards, if there are people against whom you harbor bitterness, ill will, or anger, then you need to repent as an erring believer or repent as a stranger to God's kind of love. Oh, Jesus, I need kindness to flow out of this heart. And it's not native. Help me. Give me that kind of heart that will just seep out with goodwill and good acts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the richness of your word. We're very glad for this section on love, 1 Corinthians 13. But we are also delighted that we can take this one word, kindness, and we can trace it out in the scriptures and find it in your heart and wonder how far back into eternity does the goodwill of your heart go? And we think we know the answer. We're grateful that we see it in your dealings with both those that you're going to save and with those who are strangers to your grace and mercy. You are a kind God. You are a God of grace. You are a loving God. And we thank you that we can see that this kind of love, this kind of biblical ethic is one that you lay on us as children of the Lord, of you, O Heavenly Father, and younger brothers adopted into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us grace to serve you better. And we pray, Father, for those who, under the sound of my voice this morning, have a sense of shame and disappointment that they have fallen so far short in this kind of goodwill, this kind of looking on another with their need and saying, how can I meet that? And we pray, Lord, that as we think of kindness, that we'll think of the use of tongues, the use of the gift of prophecy, for even someone who would be willing to go in apparent service to the end of giving themselves to be burned, and yet not have love as the motivating force, as the engine that is driving, it profits that one nothing. Drive us to your Savior for forgiveness. Drive us to him for new life. We pray this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.